Well, we're in the season of a time when we continue in deception. I remember being in school where the teacher asked us to be writing letters to Santa Claus, you know. And at that young age, you know, we believed in Santa Claus. And there's a number of contests throughout the United States of letters coming in and people winning gifts, prizes, people donate things to some of the best letters that come in. And, you know, how can you describe, you know, or go through some of these letters and find out which ones are the best? But there's people that do, and there's people that read these letters, and some of them send responses, and that's even another situation. How do you respond? I have a couple of letters here I'd just like to read to you that some individuals who wrote letters to Santa Claus. And these first two are children who believe in Santa Claus, that he has the hope, that he has the answers to help them. And their parents allow these particular letters to be sent in. One little girl says, "I was hoping that if you pass through heaven this year that you'll let my daddy, tell my daddy I miss him so much. My mommy has had a hard year, so please just bring me something special." A young person, "Dear Santa, how are you? I know you are real busy for Christmas. I would like my family to be together, and for we won't lose our homes. There is a lot to ask for, but the only thing I want for Christmas is my family to be happy." And then I have a couple of letters from a couple of individuals in the process of possibly trying to win gifts or a prize for their particular letter. Here's a 17-year-old, says, "My mother is diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. It's been about 4 years. She's had surgery, then 6 weeks of chemotherapy and radiation treatments. Since we do not have health insurance, this individual writes, she has not been to the doctor for her scheduled checkups. I love the slogan, live, love, and laugh, and hope someday my room will be filled with those words in it. Since my mommy's illness, I have learned to do just that, to live, to love, and to laugh, because I know how important each day of life is. And for my mommy this year, since she always sacrifices her own needs to take care of us, she really, really needs new clothes and a set of pots and pans." And then another one, a letter addressed to Santa Station, someone who's 15, was cautiously optimistic. "I don't know if I believe in Santa anymore," it reads. "I live with my grandparents and they're sick and can't afford Christmas this year, and I'm trying to be big about it and act like it doesn't bother me. But I have heard about you guys and in the spirit of Santa, and if the spirit of Santa is still alive, it would be wonderful to wake up to a Christmas present." So here we have, you know, a situation, individuals of society who are in turmoil, pain and suffering, and looking for hope. There is an individual I was reading this month, an individual, I'll name him Phil. He's 73 years old. He has a college degree, been very successful, made lots of money. In 2000, he lost most of it to the stock market, to his broker, doing trades that he shouldn't have done. And we just recently, MF Global, I'm not sure, lost billions of dollars, the 8th largest bankruptcy in the United States. And they were taking people's funds and also using those funds to speculate, to make more money for themselves. I was reading an article a couple weeks ago where a certain farmer had his savings in this particular account, and now he doesn't have any money to buy seed to go plant crops for us. So it's affected a lot of people, and it just continues to go on. But here's an individual who lost all his money, Worked for a company for almost 25 years. The owner sold the company and didn't leave him anything. The new people came in, promised that they would give him something, and then when they were done with him, they let him go. And so all they have is a house back east and can't afford to turn on the heat. And so it's just the deception of people trying to get for themselves. I know someone here sent me an email where the Federal Reserve of the United States finally was audited. There's a certain congressman who was pushing for that. And behind the scenes, they have loaned out, I believe it was almost $15 trillion without us knowing it, to companies and to countries around the world at 0% interest rate. And in no time frame for them to pay it back. And then just recently, we have the Fed and Bloomberg Television is starting to reveal a number of these things. They're digging deep into these things. Where the Fed has loaned to the IMF to help the European Union to be able to loan that money, $100 billion in this one particular instance. And the protocol or the in how and to be paid back, the Fed said, we do not want to be paid back in dollars. We want to be paid back in a basket of currencies. So it looks like the Fed, the government, is trying to devalue the dollar. And at whose expense? You know, at whose expense? So we have this deception going on everywhere. In different seasons, in the pagan holidays, in society all around us. And also just was reading that an estimate of just fewer than $2 billion of product will be shoplifted from stores the month before Christmas. It's huge. In the booklet, The Fundamental Beliefs, it says, you know, talking about who do we trust? Who do we trust? In the area, and talking about Satan the devil, says Satan is not an ordinary opponent. He is extremely resourceful and cunning. He's a cunning adversary whose ultimate goal is to deny salvation to mankind by deceiving people, leading them astray, enticing them to sin, and turning them against God. Turning them against God and God's way of life. And we know Revelation chapter 12, 9, it reads, Satan deceives the whole world. 2 Corinthians 2, 4 talks about whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. And Ephesians 2, 2, talking about you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So those who do not want to obey God are being deceived by the devil. So today let's look at Satan's influences and his impact on mankind. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. And Paul here is explaining the actions of disobedient teachers. Who is influencing them? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. This is what my point is here. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So here is Satan, an angel of darkness, transforming himself into an angel of light. So he has the ability to transform himself into someone that he is not. To transform himself as a friend, a benefactor. I mean, he deceives people in the way that they think, in their thoughts, in the way in putting their minds together. Even think that they're doing things godly, or that their way is right. And we have a lot of people who think that their way is right and that their idea is better than anyone else's. So he's convinced the world that his ways are the right ways. He has convinced those that are not obeying God that his ways are the best ways. Satan, the meaning of Satan, it means adversary. And we can ask the question, who is Satan an adversary of? Well, he's an adversary of God. He's an adversary of God's people. He's an adversary of society. Everyone in society. Devil means slanderer. So Satan is the father of slandering people. And we don't want to have any part of that. We don't want to be slandering ourselves. We want to make sure that our tongues are used in the right way. John chapter 14 talked to you about who gives us, helps us to understand God's way of life. Can just anyone walk in the door, come in here and sit down and know God's way of life? John chapter 14 and verse 30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. The word world here is to speak in accordance with the world's character and the mode of thinking. Here Jesus Christ is talking about Satan the devil is coming. I mean, he's already there, but he's coming to kill Jesus Christ. Let's back up. Look at the context here. The context is talking about God's Holy Spirit. Without God calling us and without us using that Holy Spirit, we too would be deceived. Verse 25 of chapter 14, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance, all things that I have said to you. So here's Jesus Christ. He's teaching many disciples, not just 12 disciples, many disciples. Many of them fell away. And those who continued in wanting to obey when they received the Holy Spirit, all these things that were being taught to them would come into their mind and they would remember what Jesus Christ was saying. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So here's a new king, a new ruler, a new way that they don't understand yet. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father and my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. So through this calling and through us responding to this calling, we won't be deceived. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Satan has nothing to do with God the Father and Jesus Christ. They are total opposites, dark and light. But the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me his commandments, so I do arise, let us go from here. But that the world may know that I love the Father. When we see here that the context is talking about the Holy Spirit, here the Holy Spirit wasn't given yet. Here, this is the opportunity for those in the world that we'll talk about in just a little bit, where we are able to come out of this world and receive God's Holy Spirit. He's talking about future here, talking about us being able to have God's Holy Spirit, to know his way of life and to not be deceived. Jesus Christ is coming back to call people, call some first fruits, Hopefully we can be a part of that. That's what we're all seeking. Let's turn over here to back to John chapter 8. And we can ask this question to any world leader. We can make this statement. They don't have God's Holy Spirit. If you made this statement to any world leader, you're under the influence of Satan. The ways that you do, how you think, what you're doing is influenced by Satan. You're under his control. What would they say? What would they say? They would deny it. There's no way. That's how much power Satan has. Your decisions, everything you do in society, what you're doing is under the influence, under the sway of Satan the devil. And some of them believe in God. Some of our presidents of the United States and presidents have said, you know, God bless America. Here's some individuals that also believe in Jesus Christ, but they're ready to kill him. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. Indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So to know God's truth, we must abide in him, in his son, Jesus Christ, and do what they ask us to do. Here's individuals that believe Jesus Christ, but when he gets down to the nuts and bolts and tells them what they need to do and that they need to change, they're ready to kill him because their mindset is of this world. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? So they had this question. How can you say this? They didn't understand. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be freed indeed. So he's telling them to not to live in sin. You're living in sin, and I'm here to tell you to help you to come out of sin, to not to be a slave to sin. I know you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, he says, because my word has no place in you. Here you are, you're saying you believe in me. Here I'm telling you that I don't want you to abide in sin, that you're being held captive by the god of this world. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. And they don't know that they are under the influence of Satan the devil. They've answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which is Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And then they talked to him, saying that, well, we're not born in fornication, not understanding the situation with how God has implanted the seed for Jesus Christ to be born. Jesus Christ said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, and nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. So this isn't my will. This isn't my teaching. This came from God the Father, and he and I are one. Why do you not understand my speech? He says, because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. It says he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. So Jesus Christ was truth. He teaches truth. But Satan has that sway, that pull, to be able to hold on to people. Again, reading from the Fundamental Beliefs booklet, it goes on to say, under Satan the devil, the devil opposes God continually at every opportunity. He despises God's plan, particularly its object of adding human beings to God's family. He doesn't want God to be able to produce himself. Hence, Satan also detects human beings. He is the deceiver and accuser of the brethren. He is a murderer and a liar and the father of lying. He is described figuratively as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Satan is not an ordinary opponent. It says he is extremely resourceful and cunning, a cunning adversary whose ultimate goal is to deny salvation to mankind by deceiving people, leading them astray, enticing them to sin, and turning them against God. So he is a constant enemy of God, God's kingdom, God's people, and society in itself. We need to realize that. We need to really understand that. I mean, he seduces evil in every way. He makes it exciting. He wants us to sin. His power is very great in this world. With Adam and Eve in the beginning, God said to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God tells us to obey him, not to follow Satan. If Eve knew without a doubt to hold fast, to not listen to Satan, she listened to God, not listen to Satan, she wouldn't have listened. She wouldn't have stepped over that line and been enticed. Just like in society, do we step over the line and allow sin in our lives? That's what Satan wants, so he can grab us and pull us in. And look what happened to mankind ever since. Satan is very powerful. That's what I wanted you to get, wanted us to get so far. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, and here we'll see a summary of Satan's work. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And here Paul is talking to the Ephesians, those who are God's people, those who are keeping God's laws, doing the best that they can. He's talking to the Ephesus church. He says, "And you hath he quickened," he's writing the letter here, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Here he's saying that Satan works and all those who are disobedient. So if we are being disobedient to God, he can work in any one of us who are disobedient to God. Verse 2, "Wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." We were there. We're to come out of that. The only reason that we have the opportunity, and the only reason if we are obedient, is because of God himself opened our minds and helped us to see. There's no other way. There's no other way. Verse 3, "among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh," thinking about ourselves, "the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And Satan continues to get people to disobey God. He continues to deceive and have that hold on society. So if God has opened our minds and we're responding, we'll be able to be aware of Satan and his devices. 1 John 5:19, "and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness." So we know. We will know. God will help us to see. And all those who don't obey are swayed by the wicked one. They're under the control of Satan the devil. So we only covered a few scriptures of his influences and his personal impact on mankind today. In summary, he is the core. He's evil to the core. He is the core of all evil. He's the adversary to God and to all mankind. He is a slanderer, a murderer, a liar. He's very cunning, very deceitful. He is the ruler over all the governments of the world, the society, the entertainment, the media, the educational systems, the economic systems, the religious systems. One of my first jobs was selling vacuum cleaners door to door. I had a sales manager. I was 18, 19 years old. And when you sold someone something like that, a product like that, they had 3 days to be able to return it if they didn't like it. And it was our job to let them know, the customer know, that hey, if you don't like it for any reason, after you sleep on this and you don't feel right, here's a piece of paper. It tells you exactly what it is. Sign it. I'm supposed to make sure that you're aware of this. And I take a copy and I give them a copy. Our sales manager taught us, don't let them read that. Mix it in with a bunch of things that they need to sign. Sign the book over here, sign this over here, sign this over here, and they'll never know. I was just listening to a lady who lost a lot of money, who thought that she had a 10-year warranty on all her appliances that she purchased. That's what they told her when she bought them. The paperwork that she signed said was only 2 years. She was looking for help. They're saying, you were scammed. There's nothing we can do. You signed this piece of paperwork. Satan is out there. I've been scammed many times by individuals who are deceived by Satan. And I'm sure most of you probably have as well. I mean, look at what he does to us. He causes doubt in us. He wants us to give up. He wants us to have a lack of faith, a lack of trust. He undermines our calling. He'll do whatever he can to get us to fall away. Does he control us? We need not to go over that line and continue to disobey God. Atonement stands for that time when Satan will be able to bear all this guilt that he's put on society, the pain, the suffering, all that will be laid on his head as a symbolism of the scapegoat, the sent out one. All the sins of the world will be placed on him and he will be sent out. He is responsible for all the pain and the suffering in this world. And we need to understand that. We need to know that. We need to not take it lightly. Jesus Christ is the one who's responsible for dying for our sins so that we might have life. Remember John the Baptist when Jesus Christ came, when he saw Jesus Christ? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's through Jesus Christ, it's through true repentance that we're able to have that opportunity, that amazing gift. And Jesus Christ is the one who's responsible for life, for helping us. What happens when we sin? I mean, 1 John 1, 8, 9 says that we sin. We all make mistakes. We're human beings, right? Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1. And we can look at this in our walk with God and the things that we do in our everyday life, that we're striving to become more like him. When we sin, we must be reconciled back to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, verse 18, and he, talking about Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And verse 21, and you that were some time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled. He's reconciled us. And this reconciliation must take place every time we sin. When we know we sin, and asking God to help us when we sin. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So it's through his flesh, through his death, that we're able to be reconciled back to God. If you continue, if you've been called, know God's ways. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. So we must continue in it. And we have this great gift that when we do sin, and God knows that we're weak, and we can let him know that you've showed me that I'm weak and that I need help. Forgive me and comfort me. Help me to change. Help me to be a better person. Because as Romans 5:10 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It can't know God. When we disobey God, we can't know God. If we're going to continue in sin, we can't know God's way of life. When God calls us, we need to obey and we need to respond. To be reconciled, we have to admit that we are wrong and then accept God's standard. There is a sermon by Mr. Roy Holiday, where I got some of this information from, that he gave on atonement last year. And he said reconciliation means that the hostility needs to change, and that can only be done through Jesus Christ, God the Father. Only through them living in us and us responding. And that's 180 degrees. God's not going to listen to our ways. We need to listen to his ways. So we know who's to blame for all this madness in society. It's Satan, the devil. And when something goes wrong in people's lives, here I'm talking about Satan is the god of this world. We teach that. United Church of God teaches that. Who do people blame? Oh, that devil. I can't believe. No, sometimes we hear that saying, the devil made me do it. But in reality, that's just sort of a joke. Oh, the devil, he's just a little red man and a little red pitchfork. He can't do anything. When people have misery and problems and pain and suffering, who are they blaming? They're blaming God. People that don't even believe in God will curse his name when something goes wrong. We know that God the Father, through Jesus Christ, is going to set up one world government. And it's going to succeed. What is Satan doing now? He's trying to set up a one world government through mankind that will not succeed. He is just one thing after another, getting people to say, oh, you're setting a one world government when Jesus Christ returns? That's not going to work. We tried that and it doesn't work. Satan is so cunning and so deceitful. Even when he's put away, the things that he's put in the minds of people is going to take a while to unteach. Remember, Satan is real. He rebelled against God, and he's never going to give up until he's put away forever. He's going to try to do everything he can to get us to be deceived and to rebel against God. Let's not let that happen to us. In conclusion, let's turn over to 1 John chapter 5. And remember that God is the one who gives us comfort. We can have that assurance. It's to those who obey him. And he gives us that understanding as we surrender and as we obey him. We grow in this understanding. 1 John chapter 5 says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. That doesn't mean we do not sin. It does we do not practice sin. We want to be overcoming sin. We don't continue in sin. That's what it's talking about here. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. In other words, Jesus, we know that Jesus Christ holds us securely here. We have this hope and assurance. And the wicked one, Satan, does not touch him. We have that comfort. Verse 19, we know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And verse 21, Paul says, little children, keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself from being deceived from Satan, the devil. Anything that we put before God is an idol. And we don't want to be doing that. We need to be asking for his help. We are in Satan's world, but we do not want to be a part of it. Just as Satan, in the booklet here, Fundamental Beliefs under Satan the Devil, it says, just as Satan's actions are limited by God's will, his time is also limited. He is presently the ruler of this world and described as the God of this age. But this is what we're waiting for. This is what our hope is. This is what we don't want to lose out on. We want to continue in. But his reign will come to an end at the seventh and last trumpet when Jesus Christ returns. And we can hope we can be a part of God's family. So there is a time, there is a day coming when Satan will be banished. He'll be put away. But in the meantime, let's not let him get to us. Who among us doesn't have pains and sufferings? Things that come up in this world because of Satan's society. Let's not let him allow us to grow weary in doing good. Let's not compromise God's ways. Let's not let Satan allow us to doubt God, to lack faith, to lack his trust. Remember, Satan is the one who's responsible for everything that is evil, the pains and the sufferings that come upon mankind, that come upon us, even though we're in God's church. Satan is the one who's responsible. So let's put the blame where the blame belongs, on Satan. Yes, we are responsible for our own actions, but that blame, the sin, is going to be put on Satan's head. And let's put the credit where the credit is due. God the Father and Jesus Christ, who one day we're going to put this evil monster away. And just remember, when we are a spirit being, we're not going to be bothered by him anymore. And until then, let's keep up the good fight, and let's not be deceived, and let's continue in our obedience to God.